Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you have a wonderful Independence Day weekend coming up. Today on Air Talk, we're going to take a look at the gubernatorial recall election, the date of which was set yesterday. Coming up later this hour, the latest on COVID-19 and KPCC infrastructure reporter Sharon McNary, who hosted Air Talk for 4 days just a few weeks ago, was just up at Coeur d'Alene, Idaho over the last weekend for one of the many Ironman competitions in which she's competed, record-setting heat. And Sharon remarkably finished all three of the competitions as part of the Ironman event. Extraordinary when you hear the heat involved. And we're going to be talking with her later this hour about that kind of extreme conditioned in which to compete, and we'll hear from listeners who've also taken part in events like that. Film Week, of course, coming up at 11 o'clock. We have a lot of interesting films to talk about, including a new Australian romantic comedy getting a lot of attention, Long Story Short, from writer-director Josh Lawson, and the sequel to the animated Boss Baby, the DreamWorks animated series, The Boss Baby Family Business, those and more films. We begin, though, with yesterday's announcement from California Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis that the September 14th date has been chosen for California's gubernatorial recall election. We'll talk about what that date signifies in the type of campaigns that we're likely to have and who the candidates are likely to be as we get closer. Joining us, KQED, our fellow NPR member station in San Francisco, government and politics reporter Katie Orr. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Larry.
I know Democrats were hopeful of having an earlier date for the recall election, believing that success with COVID-19 and the governor's pretty strong polling would be a benefit, and a lot can go wrong the longer that you wait. Does this fit that time frame that Democrats were hoping for?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is interesting to note that when this whole thing started and qualified for the ballot last spring, the thinking initially was that they would do it in, you know, October or November and give every step in the process its maximum amount of time to really kind of draw this out. But then, as you mentioned, the thinking started to change as more people got vaccinated, COVID rates dropped, the economy went well, and the party began thinking we should do this, as you said, again, sooner rather than later, so we don't run into a spike of a new variant of the COVID virus or massive wildfires, something that could, you know, throw a wrench in this. So with that in mind, everyone who plays a role in setting the date kind of played their part. It's helpful that they're all affiliated with the Democratic Party, and they went, you know, very quickly so far as the legislature voted to waive its 30-day review of the cost estimates, which they had just put in place in 2019. So this is pretty much as close to an optimum date as they could have hoped for.
Also joining us is California politics reporter for the Sacramento Bee, Laura Cordy. Laura, thank you for being with us. What, as you look at the field announced so far, what's your thoughts about the potential of perhaps some higher profile, maybe even Democrats entering the field?
Hey, Larry, it's great to be here. The Democratic Party and Newsom have worked really hard to make sure that another Democrat doesn't enter this race. They've tried to paint this as a Republican recall, and having another Democrat running would really mess up that message for them. So the current field of candidates are some state Republicans that people might be already familiar with. You've got Kevin Faulkner. He was just recently the mayor of San Diego, You have John Cox. He's a businessman who ran unsuccessfully against Newsom in 2018. You also have Caitlyn Jenner. You have former Congressman Doug Ossie. So there are some prominent names out there, but there were also rumors of a former Trump cabinet member Rick Grenell entering the race. There was hope that you'd have some higher profile Republicans entering. At this point, I'm not sure if there's going to be any other big names jumping in. A lot of people have said there's nobody quite like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who successfully won the recall in 2003 this time around. So I don't want to say the field is set, but you certainly have people who have been out there campaigning for several months who figure themselves to be front runners.
Laura, I saw that that Larry Elder, the conservative talk radio host who makes frequent Fox News appearances and been around for a number of years and certainly a great talker, is considering entering the race. And I don't know about his ability to raise funds, but he certainly is high profile, African-American potential candidate. And your thoughts about his potential in this field?
To be honest, that's the first that I've heard of him entering this race. I don't know a lot about him. He's going to have to work hard to try and gather name recognition. I mean, there was recent polling that showed even Caitlyn Jenner, only 6% of voters said they would back her, and she's arguably very well known. The other thing about this race is that it's just been a little bit of infighting amongst Republicans. There hasn't been a real consensus behind one candidate. We also have to remember that as good as a candidate is, unless more than 50% of people vote to recall the governor, they don't have a chance of winning. So there's a lot that needs to fall into place for a Republican in order to win this race.
We're talking with journalist Laura Cordy of the Sacramento Bee, where she covers California politics, and KQED government and politics reporter Katie Orr. If you have questions about the gubernatorial recall election, now that we have a September 14th date for the election to occur, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. You can also tweet at AirTalk. You can post on the AirTalk Facebook page or post on the AirTalk page itself at kpecc.org. Katie, what are some of the factors over the course of the next 10 weeks that could pose a risk to Governor Newsom? You know, of course, right now he's looking pretty solid with the polling without there being a super high profile challenger to him. But what pitfalls could lurk?
Well, I think one thing that Newsom himself has experienced is kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, an own goal. I mean, you could argue that we wouldn't even be here if he did not go to that dinner at the French Laundry last November. He has had multiple attempts, recall attempts, you know, started against him, and none have progressed this far because they didn't get enough signatures. However, we saw last November that his attorney or the Secretary of State, for whatever reason, didn't appeal a ruling that gave the signature gatherers more time to collect the signatures they needed. The same day the judge ruled that they could keep going, Newsom was spotted at that dinner at the French Laundry. And that just really spurred people, obviously enough people, to sign the petitions and to get us where we are today. I think, again, you always have the issue, especially right now, of like a wildfire or a natural disaster. But I don't know that people would necessarily even then hold Newsom directly accountable for that. We could see a spike in the COVID cases again if the Delta variant starts taking hold. And we have started to see that a little bit in California. Again, would people blame Newsom for that? It's hard to say, especially as Laura mentioned, when there isn't a strong Republican candidate on the other side that people might feel provides a better alternative. So I think for Newsom, honestly, the way I see it is he has to just make sure to keep himself in line and not make any more major stumbles. And, you know, I think he would feel pretty confident then that he could defeat this recall in September.
Laura, do we know at this point whether there'll be a D next to the governor's name on the ballot? That's something that he sued his elections chief, who he himself appointed, over that party designation.
Yeah, that's been a really interesting kind of twist in this whole recall story. Earlier this week, Courthouse News first reported that Newsom is suing Shirley Weber, the Secretary of State who he appointed just months ago, because she won't let his attorneys correct a filing error that they made last year. So the story goes that in February of 2020, Newsom's team filed a response to a recall attempt at that time and failed to mark Democrat on the response. And they just became aware of this in the last month and went back to Weber and said, hey, can we get that Democrat next to our name? And they said, no, the deadline's passed. Shirley Weber has said it's my job to uphold the deadlines, to uphold the rules. So you have this interesting situation where a Democratic governor and his Democratic appointed Secretary of State are now going to court. We're going to see a judge decide in a hearing on July 9th whether or not he deserves to get that party designation next to his name.
So at least that would take it out of the Secretary of State's hands. She could, if the court orders her office to put the D back on, at least, then she will have enforced her perception of the rules, and then it would be the court's doing, right?
Yeah, it would be the court's doing, and it looks like Newsom wants to get this decided fairly quickly. In the court filings, he asked to have a decision by July 12th, in order to get everything set for the recall ballot. The deadline for candidates to enter is July 16th, and then counties are going to start sending out ballots around August 14th. So this isn't going to be something I think that's going to take a long time and weave its way through appeals courts or anything like that. We're going to have to see a decision on it pretty soon.
Laura Cordy joining us, who's California politics reporter for the Sacramento Bee, and KQED government and politics reporter Katie Orr with us as well. Again, if you have questions, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Laura, can you walk us through what people, again, we know the D issue is pending, but aside from that, how is the ballot going to be formatted? What will be asked? And then how does this field of candidates relate to the first question that people answer?
Yeah, so this is going to be a ballot that a lot of people probably aren't familiar with. It's going to have two questions. The first one is the only instance where you're going to see Gavin Newsom's name. It's going to say, do you think Gavin Newsom should be recalled? And you're going to mark yes or no. The second question is going to say, if he is recalled, who do you think should replace him? And that's where you get to pick a replacement candidate. In 2003, there were over 130 candidates who ran. You had some child star actors like Gary Coleman. You had an adult film actress. It could be a lot of interesting candidates, but the interesting part is that you can vote no on the first question. You can say, no, I don't think Gavin Newsom can be recalled, and still mark your choice for a replacement candidate. That was actually a strategy that Democrat Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante used in 2003, which was, some say, confusing for voters. He said his slogan was no on recall, yes on Bustamante. So it's an interesting and unusual ballot that voters are going to get this year. But it should be pretty simple.
I have to say, adult film actor Mary Carey gave some of the most entertaining interviews during the course. She's very funny, actually, with her tongue-in-cheek candidacy for governor of California. Of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the one who won the election. Katie Orr, let's talk about the Republicans in the race. Former San Diego Mayor Kevin Falconer, a moderate Republican, but at this point, has he attracted much in the way of fundraising support?
Well, it doesn't seem, according to polling, that any of these Republican candidates are really breaking away. In fact, Gavin Newsom has been attracting, you know, a lot of donations. So he has really been the one that has been making the money in this campaign. In this campaign, the Republican field still lacks a major donor. For instance, in 2003, then Daryl Issa contributed a lot of money, gave that campaign the boost it really needed to get things going. And they don't have anyone like that this time around. So I think you're still seeing these candidates trying kind of, you know, desperately to get attention. I mean, we've seen Faulkner begin to put out some more serious policies having to do with homelessness and such. I think John Cox is trying to put some stuff out too, because previously they have been criticized for not really, you know, presenting a case for why they should be elected versus, you know, they're just not Gavin Newsom. So you have started to see them do that. But again, they just really haven't been gaining any traction in this race. And now that it's only 10 or so weeks away, they still seem to have a lot of ground to make up. We've seen Republican candidates asking for a debate so that they can get up there and, you know, get their ideas out there. It's almost certain that Gavin Newsom would not participate in that debate, but it still might be helpful for the Republicans in terms of letting one of them kind of rise to the top. But so far, we haven't seen any plans for that.
Looks like John Cox might have dropped the bear from his ads. Has that been confirmed, Katie?
Well, I don't know if he's it's still on his bus. But
oh, okay.
Is a big ball of trash that he's bringing around to show that, you know, we need to clean up the state of California. So a lot of gimmicks. John Cox, you know, he's run for office several times, never been successful being elected, but he's hoping these gimmicks this time will get him over the finish line. Not quite sure that they will.
Well, he's not shy about spending money for TV ads. That's true, despite, as you said, is his many unsuccessful attempts to win public office. Katie, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great Independence Day weekend. Always good to talk with you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Katie Orr, KQED, our fellow NPR member station, government and politics reporter, and our thanks to Laura Cordy, who is California politics reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Coming up, we'll talk with Dr. Annabelle de St. Maurice of UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital. She'll have the latest on COVID-19, and then we talk with our infrastructure reporter, Sharon McNary. But we're not going to talk about waterways, about electricity supply, natural gas pipelines. No, none of that. We're going to talk with her about her being an Ironman competitor and completing all three of the Ironman events last Sunday in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, with record-setting triple-digit heat. A remarkable reporter, a remarkable person, Sharon McNary. She'll be with us later this hour. We'll be back in 1 minute.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAS.com/sweeps.